so good to be back here. And to see, if I can just see half of you, I'm glad to see the half that I can see. I would ask that you would open your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. Our primary text and main focus will be verse 12, and that's the verse I'll read, John chapter 8, the Gospel of John. Verse 12, we read, "Again, therefore, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, I just want to tell you why I selected this passage. There's a number of reasons, but one of the main reasons is because of the times in which we find ourselves. In our nation, there is a lot of heart-wrenching, grievous things that are going on. I don't need to detail that. I'm sure if we are listening and paying attention, we are well aware of many things, even some of which has been some of the substance of our prayers. And in a light of the things that are going on around us, we don't live in a vacuum. And we find ourselves, although we are not of this world, yet we are living in this world. But the good news, Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." And though, even though we may find that in this world we may have tribulation, and if things continue in our land or if they go in a certain direction, it could turn out to become more of a trying time, especially for God's people. And I'm no prophet. I'm not foretelling the future. But should such a thing come, let us remember Jesus' words, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." But there's something I want to sound this morning. And my desire, even this morning, this note of what Jesus has to say to this world. And not only to the world, what he has to say to us here this morning. And so these words, in the midst of our lifestyle, our busy lives, our dealing with COVID, et cetera, and in all of these things, I want to remind you of things you already know, and may God by his Spirit enlarge our hearts together, that the end result of our time together would leave us clinging more tightly to Jesus and with a more yearning, with a greater expectation and anticipation what the Lord has for us, his people. Listen to these words of Jesus again. "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, Jesus makes this assertion about himself. And this assertion is emphatic. And that is, Jesus lays stress on these words when he says, "I am the light of the world," in the original ego a me, "I myself." I, even I, or I alone, I exclusively, I and no other, am the light of the world. Just think about that. Whether you tuned into the Republican convention, maybe you tuned into the Democratic convention, maybe you've listened to the commentators, maybe you listen to talk radio, maybe you talk amongst yourselves, and concerned about what's going to happen in our nation, who's going to become president. But I want us to listen to the words of Jesus. We desire things to be better for us and our country. We desire to live in peace, security, to have that right of privacy, to have that freedom. We think of the history of our land and the principles, and things are jeopardized in these days. But notice Jesus says, he says, I and I alone am the light of the world. You see, brethren, our ultimate citizenship is in heaven, from whence we wait for a Savior, Philippians 3. And I love history. And if you're a student of history, you are greatly disturbed by what's going on in these days. But brethren, I don't want us to be disturbed and alarmed to the point of despair, to the point of cowering in fear. But I want us to receive and listen to the voice of our good shepherd, of our Savior. Because what this world needs more than anything else is Jesus, the Son of God. And that's why in the scripture reading from the John's Gospel, that prologue, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it also says there, and in him was life. And the life was the light of men. We're going to come to that. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And he gives light to men, those who come into the world. And then there was a man sent by God whose name was John. He bore witness of the light. And how Jesus came to his own. He came to the Jewish people. He was a Jew. But he was not just a Jewish man. He was the Son of God. He came from heaven. Obtained his humanity by the vehicle of a womb of a Hebrew maid named Mary. And that's how the Word who was with God in the beginning, the Word who was God, that's how the Word became flesh by becoming a man through the vehicle of this womb of Mary. And he was conceived not by the generation of the male factor of a husband, of the union of a man and a woman, but he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And thus what was expelled from Mary's womb was the sinless Son of God, the King of Israel, David's son, that son long awaited for, who would deliver God's people. But he didn't come just to deliver the Jewish people from the boot of the Gentiles, namely the Romans. But he came to save sinners, Jews, Gentiles, all kinds of people from every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue. He came to save a multitude which no man could number. He came to save peoples from all around the world, not just the Jewish people. And even to this day, we here, and the fact that I'm standing here, obviously I'm not a Jewish person. And obviously, I stand here as one of the testimonies, and you yourselves, of this gospel, of this salvation that has gone to the ends of the earth. And this good news continues to be proclaimed to this very day. And Jesus' words still ring true. And his words are the most relevant words that can ever be sounded and listened to in these days. Much more relevant than any political convention or campaign. Now, I'm not knocking voting. I vote. Okay, I just want to make that clear. We should vote, do our civic duty. But my hope is not in this election. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Are you listening, brethren? I hope that as we continue through this text, that together we are hearing the voice of the Son of God. that we are hearing the voice of the good shepherd. Jesus says elsewhere, I am the good shepherd in John chapter 10. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. We, the sheep of Christ, I trust that by God's mercy, by his Spirit, that together we will hear the voice of the Good Shepherd speaking to us this morning. And to those of you who have yet to hear his voice, may God in his mercy, whether you are a young child, 5 years old, 3 years old, a teenager or an older person, may God in his mercy open your ears. Open your eyes, and by the Spirit of God, that today you will do what is set forth in this text, that you will begin today, you will begin to follow Jesus. I am the light of the world. He makes this assertion of himself. Now, how is Jesus the light of the world? He says he's the light of the world. How is that so? What does that mean? Well, I've gleaned some things from the scripture, and I mentioned already is that Jesus is the possessor and the giver of life. He possessed life, and he gives life. Back in John chapter 1, I mentioned these words already, but in John 1, the gospel here, it says, all things were made through him. This world was created through the Son of God, through the Word, through Jesus, who was with God in the beginning. And you remember when we opened the first book of the Bible, Genesis, it says, and God said, let there be light. Now, this is a thought. It's something that's been buzzing in my head for some time. But when God created the world, he didn't use his hands. He spoke, right? He spoke the world into existence. That is the spoken word. And I just wonder the connection with the fact that in the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made through him. And then as God spoke this world into existence, Jesus, the Son of God, was there with him, involved, actively involved in the creation of this world, because all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that hath been made. He's the creator. It says in Colossians how he upholds all things by the word of his power. That's referring to Jesus, in whom all things hold together. That's why he can speak to the winds and the waves when they were on the sea and the disciples were afraid for their lives. And he stands up and he says, peace, be still. Now, why is it that the weather listens to him? Because the weather, the winds and the waves knows the voice of its creator. And Jesus, as the creator, spoke and the winds and the waves obey him. He is the possessor and giver of life, that is, to the world and creating the world. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And he gives life to men in the world. He upholds his creatures, even those that were coming to crucify him. Remember on that night they came and Jesus says, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus. He says, I am. And what happened? They all fell on the ground. Their lives was in his hands. And that is why he says, no man takes my life. I lay it down of my own. He submitted himself to the cruelty and the vicious treatment of wicked men so that he would save a multitude, save his elect, to save his people. that he would accomplish salvation. You see, that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus is. He is the possessor and the giver of life, whether it's physical life. And then here in John chapter 10, I'm just going to read a few verses. In John 10, he says, as I cited earlier, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them," what? "Eternal life." I give eternal life. Jesus gives eternal life, and they shall never perish. So he gives physical life. He gives eternal life. And that way, he is the light of the world. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to live? None of us wants to die. We want to live. And you know, people that saying, they say, well, if you have your health, you have everything, right? They say that's the most important thing. You got to have your health. And so we go and we see the doctor and we have, and even some of the prayers were offered, and that is good and that is right and that is honorable, that we should do what we can to preserve our lives. And life is so important. That's why Jesus says, is not the life more than the food? Don't worry about these things. And that's a preoccupation that we have in this world about living. And Jesus is the light of the world. And in one way that he's the light of the world is that he is the possessor and giver of life. Another way in which Jesus is the light of the world is that Jesus shows the world what righteousness is. Jesus shows the world what righteousness is. Righteousness, what is righteousness? It's that which is right. That which is right. And righteousness can only be defined in relationship to God. Righteousness can only be understood and rightly defined only and exclusively in relationship to God. Because apart from God, we do not know what is right and what is righteous. Every man ends up doing what is right in his own eyes. And so people say, I have my truth, you have your truth. And that's why in the political arena, there was so much emotion. There was so much passion. I said, don't talk about politics, right? People get really worked up. And why do they get worked up? Because people have a sense of what's right. And they feel strongly about this. And they say, this is right. And we must do it this way. Well, Jesus is the light of the world. And Jesus tells the world and he shows the world what righteousness is. See, Jesus is the light. And in Hebrews 1, I won't turn there, but in Hebrews 1, it speaks about how Jesus is the one who radiates the perfections of God. He radiates the perfections of God. He is the effulgence of God's glory. It's like you see the sun. You can't look at the sun too long, but you know it's there, and you see the rays of the sun. And remember what Jesus said to Philip? They said, show us the Father. Jesus said, Philip, have I not been long with you? He that have seen me have seen the Father. If you see Jesus, if you observe Jesus, his teachings and his words, then you will know everything you need to know about God. Remember in the prologue of John 1, it says, no one have seen God at any time, but the only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared, or he has exegeted him. We cannot know God apart from Jesus. We cannot know what is right apart from Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he is the truth. He is righteousness. He shows us what it means to obey the law of God. He was holy, harmless, without guile, undefiled, separate from sinners. He knew no sin. And so if you want to know what does it look like, what does it mean to walk a life as a man, as a human being, in obedience to God, study carefully the life of Jesus. Because he shows the world what righteousness is. Also, Jesus shows the world what truth is. I just commented on this. He is the truth. He is the truth and gives men spiritual understanding, that is, illumination. He opens the eyes, not only those who are physically blind, but he opens the eyes of those who are spiritually blind. I mean, look at us today. We all have a testimony. We all can look back at a time in our lives when Jesus was irrelevant to us. We had no care, no thought, no concern about Jesus or about pleasing God. We were all about pleasing ourselves, looking out for number one, going after the pleasures of the world, the power in the world, the honor and prestige of the world, the pleasures and the covetousness of things and stuff and people and relationships and influence and power and all these things. We were going after these things, no thought of Jesus. We were blind. But then God, by his Spirit, opened our eyes. You remember those words I often quote from this pulpit when Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Some say you are one of the prophets, maybe Elijah. And then he said, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter was very quick all the time. He was always fast. You're the Christ, the Son of the... And Jesus says, you are blessed, Simon, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. The only way that the disciples knew that Jesus was the Son of God is that their eyes were opened by their Father who was in heaven. Jesus even told Peter that, Peter, you only understand who I am. You have this understanding because it was given to you by my Father who is in heaven. That is true of each of us. And that is how we come to know the truth. Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus sets men free. Freedom, right? That's a concern of many in our country. Our freedom. But there's another kind of freedom, brethren, that we ought to be concerned with. That is the ultimate freedom of all freedoms. And that is the freedom of being enslaved to our sins. Freedom from being enslaved to this world. Freedom from living under the judgment of God. Many of our fellow countrymen and women and boys and girls, they're not free. Look at what's going on around us. They're not free. They're living in the darkness. And in fact, let's look at our second point. Jesus makes an assertion about his followers, and this segues into my next point. Notice what he says here. He says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in the darkness. He that follows me shall not walk in the darkness. You remember Star Wars? Darth Vader. I know it's old and played out, but you get the idea. You have the dark side. then you have Skywalker and the Noble Ones, and you have this light and darkness conflict. And you have that theme that comes up in books and in movies, but this is something that is true, not so much the sci-fi and all of that, you know, aspect of it. But the reality is, there is this reality of darkness. And Jesus, as the light of the world, he says, the one who follows me shall not walk in the darkness. What is the darkness? This world is characterized by darkness. And this darkness is the realm of spiritual ignorance. It is the realm of spiritual ignorance where sin is promoted under the influence of the devil. Ephesians 2, we read how, and you were quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sin. And when you once walked according to the prince of the powers of the air, who works in the sons of disobedience, namely the devil. You once walked in the darkness when you were dead in your trespasses and sin, being under the influence of the devil. And it doesn't mean that people are not responsible. Oh, they're very responsible. But they're so ignorant that they don't even understand that the devil is influencing them to do the things that they're doing. That's why he told the Jews, you are of your father, the devil. These religious leaders with their nice, clean clothes and robes, leading the people in worship, and yet they were sons of the devil. And Jesus told them that. And so the darkness of this world, this realm of spiritual ignorance, the Bible tells us that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And so people just don't understand. They just don't get it. Just like we didn't understand. Just like we didn't get it. And that's why when you're living for this world and when your whole life is bound up for the things of this world, you are groping in the darkness, trying to find a way, trying to find happiness or trying to find fulfillment or this cause or that cause that you believe in, that you stand for. And that's why people get so heated up about politics. And that's why we see this move with Marxism in our land and wanting to change the country. Radical movements are underway or afoot. And this is nothing new. This is nothing new under the sun. And this is something that is going to continue until Jesus Christ comes. You remember Alexander the Great. He conquered the world because of what he believed. Adolf Hitler, what he believed. Hirohito in Japan, the Emperor of Japan, what he believed. And it goes on and on and on and on. And so this is the darkness of this world. And so men love darkness. And so Jesus, the world hates Jesus. And I've asked my children, and I said this just to provoke thought. The most hated person in the world is Jesus. Is Jesus. Jesus says, marvel not that the world hates you. Know that it hated me before it hated you. And in John 7, he said, the world hates me because I tell the world that his works are evil. He admonishes the world. Let me quote that verse aright. John 7. John 7:7. Jesus says, the world cannot hate you. He's speaking to the Jews. The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of it that its works are evil. That's why the world hates Jesus. Like I said, you know, if you're trying to sleep, someone comes in the room and turns on a light, you're just almost there. How does that make you feel? You're not pleased at that. Why did you turn on the light? I'm trying to go to sleep. Please, turn off the light. Especially if you're so tired and you're frustrated. And that's how it is when men are in their sin. Jesus is turning on the light. His truth is turning on the light. God's word is turning on the light and saying, that's wrong. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Be not deceived, neither fornicator, nor adulterer, nor drunkard, nor homosexual. And it goes down the list, shall inherit the kingdom of God if you are living this way, unless you repent. Because he did say, such were some of you, this is in 1 Corinthians. You have now been delivered, and God saves all kinds of people, and we of this group here, we were among such people in the world. Maybe your sin was not listed, but that's how it is in the darkness. And so when the truth comes, and when Jesus testifies of the truth, and when those whom Jesus sent testify of the truth, that is sin, S-E-N-D, not S-I-N, when he send them out, you see, men love darkness rather than light, and the world is under the spell of the evil one. In 1 John 5:19, the whole world, and the Apostle John says, we are of God, and the whole world lies under the evil one, that is, under the sway of the wicked one. So what happens here? What is Jesus saying? When you follow Jesus, he that follows me shall not walk in the darkness. You will no longer be bound by this world. You will no longer be bound by the darkness of your own thoughts, by the darkness of your sinful desire, by the darkness of this wicked world. Your eyes will be open. You will begin to see and understand that the heavens declare the glory of God, that God made this world. This world didn't evolve. And that I am here. My chief end is to glorify God forever. It's to enjoy him and glorify him. That's why I'm here. So many people are confused with that question. Why am I here? Why is the world the way that it is? Well, when God opens your eyes, when Jesus opens your eyes, then you will see. Then you will understand. Then you will understand what this world is and what this world is truly about. And then you will be walking in the light of God's word because, you know, you go into a dark room or if you're in the woods at night and you turn on your flashlight or you go into a basement, you turn on then you begin to see what's in there. But until then, if you're stumbling around because you can't see, you can't find your way, you don't know what you're stepping on. You don't know what you're bumping up against. But when the light is on, you see what's around you and you see things as they really are. And so men who follow Jesus, when you follow Jesus, you will no longer walk in the darkness. Another thing that Jesus says about his followers is not that he makes this assertion of the character of their lifestyle, but then he also makes this assertion about the benefit that they possess. And what is it? What's in it for them? You know, the question, what's in it for me? He says, he that follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is what he will have. What do you mean? My understanding is that when people they get religion or they become Christians, I mean, they get into all kinds of trouble. Sometimes Christians are even killed because of what they believe. Church history bears that out. And even in certain parts of the world where Christians are being persecuted, we know North Korea is on the number one persecutor of Christian list, nations. We know that this is happening all around us. So what's in it for me? And I'm That question is what an unbeliever might think or say. But here Jesus says, you shall not walk in the darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Remember I said he's the giver of life? But look carefully at these words. The light of life. These words seem to indicate that light, the light is the... Let me catch myself. The light that comes to a believer, it comes through the life that Jesus gives. They shall have the light of life. That is, when God opens your eyes, you have new life. You are alive. You are no longer spiritually dead. And as a result of having this new life, you now have light because you can see, because you can understand. And now you see Jesus for who he is. And this knowledge of God, you have a growing knowledge of God. And this knowledge of God gives greater enjoyment of God. And this light is spiritual life. It will be the light of spiritual life that the world does not know of, and even of eternal life. Remember, Jesus says, I give to them eternal life. And eternal life begins now with what God does in our hearts, with what God does by opening our eyes. And we have a new life. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. And this light of life includes the knowledge and enjoyment of God. In John 17, verse 3, when Jesus prayed that high priestly prayer, he said, and this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and him who you did send, even Jesus Christ. This is eternal life, knowing God. Knowing God is life. Knowing God is light. And knowing God is so profound. And it is so enriching. And I tell you, especially if you're an unbeliever and you don't get it, when you come to know God, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. You want to be right with God. You want to please God. You want to glorify God. And that is the reason why Christians over in history and Christians in different parts of the world will lose their lives, will risk their lives for the sake of Jesus. Because they know they have eternal life. They know that it is well with their souls. They know, as Paul could say, there's a crown of righteousness that awaits me. They know that should their body be destroyed, whether it's by a gunshot or by a knife wound, however they will seek to take my life, they know that the soul is going to be with the Lord in heaven. And they know that the day is coming when the body that has been slain, that has been laid in the earth, that body will rise again in that great day of judgment, that last day, and that body will rise not to judgment, but it will rise a glorified body, and it will be reunited to that soul, and there in the new heavens and the new earth with a glorified body and a glorified and perfected soul, there will we inhabit eternity. In the new heavens and the new earth. You see, our citizenship is in heaven. And so those who follow Jesus, this is what they see. This is what they know. This is what they believe. And therefore, they live the way they live. They say the things they say. They value the things they value because their eyes are open. They have the light of life. They are truly living. They are truly satisfied. They are truly, the more they know God, you know, it's like you get closer to God. You want to be more like him. You want to be more like Jesus. And when we shed more of our sin and when we're mortifying, isn't that true in the Christian life, brethren, that when we're not walking the way we walk, the Spirit of God is grieved and our fellowship with God isn't what it doesn't mean we're not saved, but it's not what it was. And we know something's not right. And then we deal with that matter and we repent and we draw near to God. And we know that nearness, you say, oh, Lord, I don't want to lose this for all the world. The light of life. The light of life. And as we wind down, brethren, because I know we're coming close to that time. Brethren, I want these words to ring in your souls from this day forward. As we hear more of what's going to unfold in this world. Remember, God's going to determine who's going to be president. God's got that all worked out. God is in control of all things. He does according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants on earth. God's got it under total control. And brethren, we have freedom. We are the most free people on the earth because our eyes are open, because God has saved us. And therefore, listen to the voice of your Savior and follow him. He says, he that follows me shall not walk in the darkness. Brethren, don't let the darkness trip you up and distract you and deceive you. And don't start leaning toward that way and getting so caught up in the causes of this world. But rather, brethren, may our cause be the cause of God and his kingdom. May that prevail in our lives. And for those who do not know, I say to you, you're an unbeliever. Listen to Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Young people, young children, follow Jesus. You will never, ever go wrong when you follow Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this consideration of these words, which no man can do justice to. But we pray, therefore, your Spirit will take your word and seal it to our hearts. And may we as your people have a greater resolve and a greater joy in following you, Lord Jesus, that you are the light of the world. And may you be pleased to bring those who are yet in darkness this day, that you would bring them out of the darkness and give them the light of life. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.